and welcome to the Golden Hour. I am Golden Duffy, your host, and today we are talking about love, baby. It is Valentine's week, and it's actually my wedding anniversary, so I thought it would be really fun to do a show about love. Now, this, if you are not in a significant relationship, this is for you. If you are in a significant relationship, this is also for you, because I'm going to hit both of the different ways that we receive love and give love and accept love and attract love into your life. I'm going to get some personal stuff today, my personal story. And I just love love. I say that all the time. I just love love because we are the purest essence of love. We are an expression of love, of infinite love and intelligence. So when you understand this, you become love, you embody it, you walk around in it, and you understand it, and you stop cutting yourself off from it. That's what you do when you are not in a position of self-love, when you are being self-critical, when you are beating yourself up. What you are doing is you are disconnecting with the true essence of who you are. So I'm going to help to reconnect you if you are disconnected, and to share with you that you never really actually disconnect. You just turn away from. You don't ever really disconnect, because you can't disconnect from something that you already are. What you can do is forget or not be in your awakened remembering. And that's also what I'm here, is to remind you so that you can remember that you are the purest essence of love. And I don't care how long you've been alone for, or maybe you've never had a significant love of your life ever. If it is something that you desire, then you absolutely can manifest it. Without a shadow of a doubt, I can tell you that with every fiber in my being, that it is possible for you. And if you have lost faith or you have lost hope, that's the reason why it's not coming, because you are blocking it. You're putting up roadblocks to your actual own desire and manifestation. So let's clear that. We can do a little clearing today too, if you like. I love to do clearings. I love to do shifts and clearings. Those are my favorite things to do, because often it's just a millimeter shift that we need to take. It's just a little change in our vibration, a little shift in the way we feel, a little shift in the way we believe, that actually creates these massive manifestations coming to us. And, you know, part of it is being in the readiness for that. So you are the purest essence of love. You were born here. You were born into love. No matter what your childhood story is, no matter what you grew up with, you have the ability to step into that pure essence of love, because that's who you are. Now, when you were growing up, you know, before you were 5 to 7 years old, all of that love that you encountered, whether it was the lack of love, whether it was too much love, whether there was no love at all, whatever you experienced at that time created those core beliefs for you. So this is getting back to those core beliefs to figure out, where is this coming from? Where is this feeling of being unlovable, or this feeling of being unworthy, or this feeling of no one loves me and no one likes me and I'm always alone and I'm miserable? Where does this come from? Where is that belief coming from that drives the energy of that in your life? So if you are really lacking relationships and love and fun, I'm going to give you some tips that you can follow to get back into that flow of life, that life force that's going to help you to connect with people, that's going to help you to love people. Because I promise you, if you are not experiencing a lot of love and a lot of really healthy relationships in your life, it all stems down to you. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with you. I would never say there's anything wrong with you, because there isn't. There's just some belief systems that are in the way. You are not broken. There is nothing wrong with you. You may have had your heart broken over time. So as you know, as we're growing up, we get all these belief systems, you know, based on the love that we received from others, the love that we witnessed from others. So if you had parents that were a little dysfunctional, that were maybe, you know, threatening divorce all the time, or did get divorced, then that is going to, you know, create belief systems for you. Many people recreate what their parents do because they don't even realize that they're living on this generational cycle thing, and they don't realize that they can put an end to it, that they can stop it. And you absolutely can. So depending on how you grew up, with the lack of love or too much love, or maybe complete abandonment, you know, maybe you were put up for adoption. I know a lot, I've worked with a lot of people that have that adoption wound, that abandonment wound. And I recently realized that I had an abandonment wound when I was like 20, like crazy. That I would live my whole life not realizing that there was this wound that happened when I was in my 20s because my parents moved down to Florida. They sold everything, retired down to Florida, and then I was left with my husband and my babies all by myself and had that feeling of abandonment. So tracking back where those energies came from, where those beliefs came from, is an important part of your process. It's not about digging up the dirt, right? Like that's a lot of times what therapy does, is it digs up the dirt and then it leaves you in the dirt. It doesn't give you the tools that you need to transfer it. So for me, what I do is I journal about it. I do work with some energy people. I'm actually working with Michelle right now. She was on my show last week. She is absolutely amazing. I love her, Michelle Robinson. So I'm doing some work with her on the inner child stuff and just finding out, you know, if I've got any blocks to my path, because a lot of times those blind spots, you know, we don't see them. So journaling about it and saying, where does this belief come from? Why do I feel so unlovable? Because if you feel unlovable, your life is going to reflect that feeling. It's going to show you. That's life is your mirror. So what you are experiencing is what you have going on inside. And that's why it's really important to do the cleanup work. So I highly recommend Michelle, if you're looking for someone to talk to about that, to shift these things, to help you to gain some awareness and perspective, because perspective is everything. You know, if we gain perspective on maybe childhoods that were really traumatizing, if we gain a different perspective on it, like here's a perspective that's really cool. If you didn't have a great childhood and it was kind of traumatic, you can recognize that you came here and set yourself up in situations because you wanted to grow from them. You wanted to expand and grow. So those situations in your family life were part of that expansion and growth. Some of us picked some pretty wild paths, you know. Some of us wanted the contrast. We wanted the intensity. We wanted to come out of really extreme situations so that we could create powerful lives. And some of us don't realize that, and we stay in that powerlessness, right? We know plenty of people, they stay in the powerlessness, they become alcoholics, they blame everybody, they're victims, they're not moving forward in their lives because they're allowing their past to shadow every single day of their lives. And that's what keeps people stuck in patterns and keeps people from really healing and growing and becoming something new, something really awesome and new. A long time ago, a long, long time ago. So my husband and I have been married for 31 years. And if you know our love story, I'm sorry that you're going to have to hear it again, but I'm going to share it because I don't know that I've ever shared it on this show before. And it's Valentine's week. And we have an incredible marriage that I really love sharing about. And I wanted to have him on the show, but we have a trip planned. We're doing a little anniversary getaway to Paso Robles in a couple of days. Not to say that to make you jealous, but to show you what is possible. Our lives are very blessed. Our lives are very abundant. And I am very fortunate that I have a partner in all of this to manifest this incredible life that we have. So we're going away for a couple of days. So he's a little crazy at work getting ready to leave. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it without him. I'm going to share what I know, the inspirations that have created an incredibly deep and rich marriage. You know, I tell my kids this all the time. I have four daughters, and I tell them all the time because they're all really looking for partners that live up to their dad's standards. And I tell them, like, this is not who we always were, you know, and they remember somewhat a little bit of their childhood, but they don't ever remember us like really yelling at each other or fighting. We never did that in front of them. Like, we may have had spats and stuff, but we never had true anger in front of them. And that was something that we just never wanted to instill fear in our children that would make them doubt our relationship. So starting with like the manifestation of how this all happened, I did not know about law of attraction when I was like 10 years old. But I did create a very strong desire when I was 10 years old, and I can track it back to manifesting this man very early in my life and how it all transpired. Now, it could be destiny, could be soulmates, I don't know. But what I do know is that I had the visions of him before he came. So when I was like 11 years old, I would go visit this cousin who I loved so much. I loved all my cousins. They were amazing and they were older than me. So I remember being 11, 12 years old in my cousin's, going out with my cousin and her friend, who I just thought was the most beautiful girl I had ever met, and her boyfriend. And her boyfriend would drive us around and he had these big muscular arms. And I just remember watching her like rub his arm and kiss his arm. And I was like, I want that. I want that. I also really had a strong desire to be a mother. I loved babies. I loved taking care of them. If we were at a party, I would be the one taking care of the baby. I had very strong motherly instincts when I was very young. So when I was 12 years old, I started to envision him and I started to have dreams about him. Now, all I could see was his arms, right? I could feel his arms around me. Every night before I went to sleep, I would feel his arms around me. And I would imagine that I was in this loving, deep relationship. I am 12 years old. So at 12 years old, I set out to find this relationship. And I had many boyfriends that missed the mark so far and being my forever one, because I really wanted my forever one. Like, that was the thing when I was super young. I just wanted to be in love forever and I wanted to be with that one person. So I met him when I was 14 years old. And I will never forget this day as long as I live. I went to my best friend's house and went up to the bedrooms, and he was in his bedroom. He was my best friend. He is my best friend's brother. And I remember standing there and I couldn't speak. I remember like everything that powered my speech was gone. And I remember just looking at him and feeling such a strong energetic connection. I couldn't explain it. I didn't understand it. I didn't think, oh, this is my forever one. I didn't think any of that. I just thought, wow. That's all I could think was wow, right? So we ended up being friends and we would hang out together all the time. And if there was like a party or something, we would usually end up together and alone. But he never did anything. Like, he never kissed me. He never said he liked me. We started talking on the phone and we just became like really good friends, but he would never date me. Actually, I was 12. I was 12 when I met him. That's right. I was 12 because it took 2 years of this. So at 12 years old, here I am, like just enamored with him. We're hanging out like every weekend. I remember one weekend in particular. Now, he wouldn't date me because I wasn't in high school yet. It was not cool to date someone that wasn't in high school yet. You know what I mean? Because he was in high school. He was 2 years older than me. So I remember one night in particular, we were at this pizza place and we were laying outside like on the grass waiting for our parents to come pick us up. And I remember him telling someone that I was going to be his wife someday. It was so bizarre, but I remember it hit me right in the heart. And I was like, oh, wow. He really likes me. This is really happening. Oh my goodness. So I floated around on that for a while. And then he didn't commit. He wouldn't commit. He wouldn't show up for me. So I started dating other people and I was like, whatever, I'm just going to let him go. Law of attraction. Let it go, right? Stop chasing, let it go. Law of attraction, knew this stuff. It's our foundation to know this stuff, right? Somewhere in that little girl, I knew this. And I knew that chasing him and wanting him was creating a lot of pain for me. And I didn't feel like I had time for that. So I just started dating other people. So a few years go by, you know, we see each other here and there. And every time we see each other, we end up together. Like, we end up in the same place and talking and having a good time, and me just in this really strong desire for him. So on my birthday, my 14th birthday, we all got together and we would go to the movies, but we wouldn't go in the movies. And then we'd have to find out what the movie was about to tell our parents. So we're behind the movies. We're sitting on this sandbox. And I can't believe I'm telling this story on TV. We're on the sandbox and we're talking about the group Kiss and how it's like, it was like one of my favorite bands at the time. I don't know. I guess I really didn't have a high vibration of songs yet, music. So all of a sudden I looked over and he looked at me and we just started kissing. and literally started making out like there was no tomorrow, ended up on the ground making out, and we literally kissed for the entire evening, like did not stop. Like my jaw was sore the next day. What I loved about him is he did not try to get in my clothes. He was very respectful of me. That was really important to me because I just felt like I was so young. I was only 14 years old. So we went back to his sister's house that night and still continued to make out all night. And then the next morning he left and went to a football game. And I remember I have never felt so different in my life. I still can viscerally remember the feeling that I felt like the world was never the same. Like everything had changed. I felt elevated. I felt like a new person. I felt like the birds sang louder. I felt like the flowers were prettier. It was like a whole vibrational up level. So all day I'm slightly concerned that he's still not interested in me because, you know, I'm actually going into high school now. Like the next week I was starting high school. So I still had some concerns that he didn't really like me, which, you know, again, is that it's that reflection, right? It's like how we really feel about ourselves inside. I had a very low self-esteem and very low self-confidence. And that was brought on by my biological family and situations in my biological family where I did not feel safe, where I felt I was definitely like emotionally abused and verbally abused, where I really didn't have a good outlook on myself. So shockingly, love still came, but I was still in that fear of that. So he comes back from the football game and I was taking a nap and he snuggles up next to me and he says, "See, I still like you." Because I remember all that night, I was like, "Are you still going to like me tomorrow?" And he said, I still like you. And I was like, okay, well, I love you. And then I think it was the next day, it was the Labor Day parade, and he asked me to be his girlfriend. And I felt like angels were singing. It was like, oh. And we dated hot and heavy. I mean, we literally were best friends. We talked every single minute we could on the phone. We went out all the time. I was not allowed out in his car. He actually got his license and I was not supposed to be in his car. So that was a big challenge and a big dramatic thing with my parents and family. And, you know, we went through time together. I think I was 16 when we broke up. And the reason why we broke up for 3 months. The reason why we broke up is because I was so needy and I was so, take this to heart. If this is you, if you are struggling in relationships, I was so needy and I was so down on myself. I felt so ugly inside. And I finally found this boy to tell me that I was beautiful, that it was like, I just couldn't fill the hole enough with what he would tell me. I mean, he would write me letters. He would talk to me on the phone. He would tell me all the time, and it still wasn't enough. So I think he just started to get tired of it. You know, here he is, 17 years old. His family life was a disaster. He was living on his own. He was actually renting for a while. He lived in his car, and then he was renting a room for a while from this woman who would not let me come over. Another story, another day. So we broke up, and it was an interesting time because I was moving schools at the time. I was leaving the only school I ever knew, and my family moved me two towns away, or no, the next town over. So we moved to the next town over and I started a new school. And it was kind of cool because I didn't have a boyfriend. I didn't have any of the weight of my biological family on me in this new school. I was like my own person and I could stand in my own power and teachers didn't know my situation. So that was really cool. And then I couldn't get over him though. Oh my goodness. Have you ever had a breakup where you just can't get over the person? Like you eat and breathe and sleep and you can't get over. So he would see me every once in a while. And we would go out for breakfast and we would, you know, and I would just want so badly to be his girlfriend until I got to the point where I decided that I was going to start dating other people again. There was a lot of nice guys in my new school and I was like, I'm just going to, and I started dating my best friend from that school, her brother, and he had the same name. Oh my God. So confusing and so ridiculous. I don't know what it is about keep your brother away from me. So I started dating him. And as soon as my husband found out, he asked me back out. Like he felt like he was starting to lose me. And he actually said that he realized that over the course of those 3 months that he was never going to find someone that loves him the way I do. Like that's what he realized after having this little break. So he always says now, like, I was smothering him and that's why we broke up, because I was smothering him, and I totally own that. And now he's like, he's the one smothering me, which we joke about. He's pretty obsessed with me, but that's okay. Now it's okay because we're obsessed with each other. So through the course of that, we got back together, created a really strong foundation, a deeper foundation. I felt like I could calm down a little bit, that I didn't have to be so like distrusting that he was going to leave me, that I started to heal some of my wounds. Even though I was really young, I didn't heal them to the level yet until I became an adult. And then through the course of a few years, I went to college. And my second year of college, I actually just went for an associate's degree. I got an associate's degree in paralegal. I got pregnant. We actually had moved in together and I got pregnant like a month later. And it's all I ever wanted. All I ever wanted was to be a mom and a wife. That was all I ever wanted. So we had our first baby. I was 19. I turned 22 weeks later. And then he asked me to marry him. Right after I had the baby, he asked me to marry him. So we got engaged. And then we got married that following year on Valentine's Day. And the reason we got married on Valentine's Day is pretty funny. So we had this insurance guy come over, and I was so tired of not being married. I was ashamed. Like, my whole family, my grandmothers, my aunts, they're all Catholic. And my grandmother keeps telling me he's not going to buy the cow if the milk is free, and like all these things. And I'm just like, I'm feeling so ashamed of myself. Like, shame was a really good word for it. So we're talking to this insurance guy, and I'm like, okay, we have different last names. We have a baby. This is so weird. And back then it was a lot weirder than it is now. This was in the 1990s. So we made this decision standing in our laundry room to get married in 10 days. We're like, Valentine's Day is 10 days away. Let's just get married on Valentine's Day. And we won't tell anyone. We'll make it a surprise. And we'll just show up at your mom's house. We'll invite all these people and we'll be like, surprise, this is our wedding. Well, I made the mistake of telling my mom, and it went from about 30 people to 80 people in like 2 days. And then we ended up having to find a location, which we had the firehouse, and we decided to get married outside in Connecticut. In winter. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Almost split up over it. We got into such a fight because my parents decided last minute that we couldn't do it at their house because there was too many people. They had this beautiful farmhouse. So it became this like huge thing, and everything worked out. And before, 2 days before the wedding, it ice stormed, like crazy ice storm, huge storm, snow everywhere. And we're getting married outside next to this waterfall. And it was literally like Mother Nature gave us a gift because the trees were glistening in ice. It was like Mother Nature's decorations for our wedding. And it was such a beautiful day. And I'm so, like, thinking back, it was just, everything was just perfect. It was one of the happiest days of my life, with no doubt. And a month later, I got pregnant with my second daughter. So it was a good thing. Otherwise, I would have had two illegitimate children. And then we waited 9 years and had our third. And then we waited another two years and had our fourth. So it's been a journey. It's been a journey, you guys. And it has not always been this amazing thing that people see today. We have worked so hard to stay together. And I remember, and this may be something that you need to change in your relationship, I'm going to give you a couple of tips if you are in a deep relationship, or in a long relationship, you know, if you've been married for a long time and you feel like the love is lost, I'm going to give you some tips on how to get that love back. But the biggest thing that we started to do is we got into this really big fight when our kids were little. And I was working at a bar, and it was really just a bad scene. And luckily, I got smart and quit that place, but it was starting to erode our marriage. And I remember getting into a really big fight with my husband. Now, I'm like 22 years old. I'm like so young, and all I want to do is party, but I've got these kids and this husband, and I'm just like, and like, it's money struggles and the whole thing. We're living in this really small apartment with no laundry, by the way. I still appreciate my laundry. I used to bring all this clothes to the laundromat every week with my two babies. It was insane. Hard times, like really hard times, like times when we didn't have enough money for food, or we didn't have enough money for formula. I remember my husband going out and literally going on the side of the road looking for cans, and he found all this stuff. He found these stamps, and he found all this stuff that we were able to sell. It was like God's miracle, right? And actually, someone saw him collecting cans on the side of the road and thought it was really noble that he was out there trying to do something to take care of his family instead of, you know, just sitting there and not doing anything. And he hired him. So, you know, over the course of the years, it's been a journey of showing up for each other and rising above our situations, our poverty. You know, we lived in poverty over the course of our lives when we were building ourselves up. You know, we came from like literally nothing. Like no one gave us any handouts. Like we were totally on our own. So if you're in a loving relationship, you know, one of these really significant arguments that we had that was so intense, my husband and I decided at that moment that divorce was never an option. We literally took it off the table. I think I was 23 years old and he was 25, and we took it off the table. We said, we will never threaten that to each other. And if you're doing that, I want you to understand something. Or if you're entertaining divorce, I want you to understand something. You are splitting the energy field. So you are not sending an energetic connection to love. You are actually splitting and going in the other direction. This also happens if you're looking at other people and expecting them to fill you up or make you feel good, and you're turning away from your spouse to do it. You will energetically disconnect, and eventually you'll probably end up in a divorce. Now, if you're in a bad situation and your marriage is just really rocky, I would highly suggest that you start working together, because I really believe any relationship can be completely repaired if two people are willing to come together. And I don't think it was ever spoken that we were going to do that, but that's exactly what we did. We joke all the time because I used to write him letters about what he was doing wrong. And now I realize that that was really, really egotistical of me and really never really accounting for what he went through. So this is another tip of what we need to let go of to create a good marriage. Let go of divorce, let go of the notion of divorce, let go of the notion of getting away from each other and start coming back together. And then the second piece of that is no longer being a victim. Yeah, not playing the blame game. We do not play the blame game. In fact, whenever something happens that is less than optimal in our relationship, I always ask myself, where is my stuff in this? Where is my stuff in this? Where do I need to see? Where's my blind spot? What am I not seeing? And how am I projecting something onto him? Because it's all a reflection of what's going on in our own field. If your spouse is not loving you, then maybe you don't feel lovable. Maybe you aren't living love. Maybe you aren't living your truest essence of love. Because when you are living your truest essence of love, everyone will show you. Your kids, your spouse, your friends, your family, everyone will show you that and reflect that pure essence of love. So it's about that self-love journey at that point and coming back to finding out who you are, healing, and becoming whole once again. So in that relationship, as we've grown over time, you know, we had arguments, we had fights. I remember one of the worst fights we ever got in. Oh man. And alcohol was definitely involved. So I want you to be aware of where alcohol plays into the eroding of your relationship. Because I would say most of our issues, there was always alcohol involved, including my biological family issues. There was alcohol involved. Alcohol just makes us, it just creates a lot of drama, and it actually activates a lot of negative focus and a negative attention. And that's why, and it just brings out a lot of things that we regret. So it was Christmas, and I wanted a puppy. I wanted a puppy so bad. I had two kids at the time, and I just wanted a puppy. There was this yellow lab that I would run by every day with this lady running with her lab. And I just wanted to be that lady running with my lab. And I just wanted a buddy. I wanted a partner. My girls were in school all day long, and I was doing some part-time work and stuff, but I felt lonely, and I wanted a dog. So Christmas comes. We put on this huge spread for Christmas. Like, we were crazy. We had this little house, And it was a beautiful home built in the 1700s. And we would literally break down our bedroom. Our bedroom was like in the basement. We had a refinished basement and there was a fireplace. We would break down our bedroom and create like a dining room in our basement. It was really beautiful. And then we would carry all the food down this insane staircase. So we go through Christmas and there's no puppy. I don't get a puppy for Christmas. I get a gift of a trip to Ireland, which is where my husband's family is from. And they were all excited. And I had had too much to drink because they were 2 hours late for dinner. So I drank more than I should have. And so when they left, I was really angry that I didn't get a puppy and I got a trip to Ireland that I did not want. Talk about being ungrateful. So we get into this huge fight. He actually threw the Christmas tree. He stripped the Christmas tree of decorations. I can't believe I even had any left that were not broken. He threw the Christmas tree out and it was the worst fight we had ever gotten in our marriage ever. And the next day he brought home a puppy. And that puppy was a nightmare. We ended up giving that puppy away 2 years later after we tried so hard to train it and it wouldn't train. And he wanted a baby, which I was not. I wanted a puppy. He wanted a baby. We still joke about this. And I ended up getting pregnant a month later with my third. And then that puppy became a big pain, I tell you. So be careful what you wish for and make sure what you want is what you really want, because a puppy is a big responsibility. But through the course of like the big fights that we've had and the big, like seriously, alcohol has always kind of been in play whenever we've had really big fights. Most of the time it was because I was looking at what he was doing that was wrong, what he wasn't doing to fill me up. And what I started to realize through my spiritual journey was that if I wasn't full, if I didn't know who I was, if I wasn't whole, I felt fragmented in my life because I was just a mom. I used to say it all the time. I'm just a mom. I never had a career. I got a paralegal degree. I never did anything with it. So I just felt like low on myself. And he took care of us and he actually ended up creating a huge business. We were living in this house. And right when we started to transition to finally buy our first home, he created this incredible remodeling contracting business. And it started to grow over time and build and build and build until the point where he was making a lot of money. And, you know, we were able to take care of our family. And then we had our financial crises, which you've all heard about. One of the major things in our financial crisis that I would love to share as a relationship is that we never turned away from each other and we never blamed each other. We never blamed each other for spending too much money or for not managing the money correctly or whatever. We just never did that. We always came back together as a team and we rose up. We've always come back together no matter what was going on. So if you are in a marriage right now that doesn't feel like you're connected, you have to reconnect. You know, I was talking to a friend recently because we were both kind of feeling disconnected from our husbands because they work a lot and they're stressed a lot. And then they come home and they've got office stuff to do. And we're just like, okay, where are we in all of this, right? You have to make that connection. You've got to do it, because if your partner is the one who's stressed out and working all the time and, you know, feels like there's not another thing they can do right now, you have to be the one to show up. So this past weekend, you know, we made plans to go out for dinner, like anything that we can do to reconnect, go for a drive together, go to the beach together, just be together and reconnect. Like it's so easy in this world to be distracted. Put your phones down. Phones are eroding people's relationships because you're in this false sense of community and this false sense of relationships, and you're leaving the real relationships that are right in front of you. So put your phone down. That would be so good. I actually recently heard this thing about like not having your phone on the dinner table because, you know, we're so like addicted to it and it's so easy to just pick it up and check it. So when we go out to dinner, I've been leaving it in my purse. And then at home at dinner, I put it on the counter where I can't reach it so that I am not tempted to look at my phone when I am in a mealtime sharing time with the people that I love. So that is a great tip. So communication has been huge for us, healing our wounds, not blaming one another, not playing the victim. Divorce is not an option, and being okay with being vulnerable. like being okay with the person seeing your weakness, but also, you know, creating that space for them as well, and not, oh my goodness, not using those weaknesses against them. So not using it in a fight, not using it to your advantage, but really understanding and having compassion for the other person has been a huge way for us to like come together and really, really hear each other, really hear what the other person has to say. I'm a talker, in case you guys didn't notice. So I have a really bad habit of interrupting my husband and not giving him enough space to say what he needs to say. So I'm working on that. I'm really working on that because I value this man so much and he values me so much. And I think that's probably been another part of what has really deepened our relationship. We value each other and we're always working to make the other person's life easier. So we're always considering the other person. Consideration. Do you have any consideration for the other person? Because if it's all about you, like if you haven't been in a relationship in a long time and then you get in a relationship and life has always been about you, I don't know what that's like. I've literally been a mom since I was 19. But if that is you, consideration. I want you to write that word down, consideration, and start considering what that means. What does it mean to think about somebody else? What does it mean to put their needs, you know, not necessarily above your own needs? I don't ever look at it that way. I don't think we put our needs above the other person's needs, but I think what we do is we come to the relationship whole. So when I do think about, oh, I'm going to bring the garbage in so my husband doesn't have to do it when he gets home because he's been working so hard. When I do that, I'm thinking about how much I love him. It's from a place of abundance. It's not from a place of lack. It's not like, oh, I'm going to put the garbage away so he can thank me. No, it's not like that at all. I'm going to do that because it's considerate. And if I'm not home and I'm running around and I'm doing stuff for my business or I'm doing stuff for the kids or our family, he'll do it. It's like, it's such a beautiful dance when you get into this relationship where you are truly a team and there's no like hard lines on what this person's, you know, roles are, or what this person's roles are. It's like, how do we come together and really help one another? How do we make life easier for one another? If you are alone and you are looking to manifest love, a really great way to do that is to, first of all, ask yourself, what are your beliefs about yourself? What are your beliefs about yourself? Do you have love for yourself? You know, do you really love yourself? And if the answer is no, and you have a lot of self-critical things going on, I would say meditate. I have an awesome self-love meditation that I can send you. You can just email me at livelifegolden@gmail. Get working on your self-love. What is good about you? What do you love about you? And if there's nothing, what can you create that you love about yourself? And then it's, where are you putting yourself? You know, are you putting yourself in a place where love is possible? Or are you just believing that it's over for you, that you're never going to find love? Your beliefs are so important. And the way you feel inside is super important because that is the reflection of what you're going to find. Do you have clarity on who this person is and who, you know, or have you completely lost? Can you like gave up? Like you just like, I don't care anymore. You know, there's a really fine line between law of attraction of letting go and allowing and letting go and kind of stopping the desire, right? When we stop the desire, we just stop the flow of energy. So it's like, oh, I just gave up and I don't care anymore. And I'm not even going to think about that because it makes me sad or miserable. That's the opposite of manifesting because it's split energy and you're not going to, it's not strong enough to conduct this wave. So the desire and the clarity is a huge part of the manifestation. So write down your perfect person. Visualize them before you're going to sleep. What does it feel like to have their arms around you? And then keep your eyes open. Look for opportunities to get yourself around people. If you are sitting in your house by yourself and saying, nobody loves me and nobody wants to be around me, there's no way these people can find you because you're hiding. You're hiding in a vibration that doesn't allow you to attract love, to attract people, to attract goodness. So you have to put yourself, one second. You have to, I'm clearing energy for somebody. That's usually what that means. You have to put yourself in places where you are. And it's not, I used to have friends, oh my goodness, that were single. And everywhere they went, they were on the hunt. They were on the hunt for the man, right? And I've actually done this. I'll put it with how I used to look at houses. Like when I was looking for a house, I'd be like, it has to be the one. It has to be the one. And when it's not, then I'd be disappointed and heartbroken. Instead, if you would let the universe, if you would let society, if you would let these men or women show you the clarification of your desire. So maybe you date people and they're not perfect, but every one of them gets you closer to the one that you want. And let me tell you, in the beginning, it's not going to be perfect. It's not supposed to be perfect. Even 31 years from now, it's not supposed to be perfect. We're pretty close. It's 38 years and I wouldn't say it's perfect, but, there is a heck of a lot more joy than there is anything else. So, but it takes, you know, it takes that commitment and two people deciding they're going to work on their wounds. They're going to heal together. They're going to come together and they're going to communicate to refine the relationship, to really refine the relationship. So clarity, write down what you want in a partner, visualize it, feel it, and then be aware of what's going on, right? Like be on the lookout, but don't be in desperation. Desperation is the energy of chasing. They will run away. Desperation can be felt across the board. I always say this when people in sales, like I can feel your desperation and I don't like it and I don't actually get manipulated by it. So desperation does not need to be part of the program because if you are acting as if, and you're being in the identity of somebody who is attracting a love, right? The love of your life. If you were in that identity and you were becoming that, you would be acting as if, and you wouldn't be desperate. You would be trusting. You would be living in faith. You would know that this person is like right around the corner. You would feel it. You would literally feel it coming and you would let go of loneliness, despair, misery, and the idea that you're going to be alone forever. You'd let go of all those things because those are your roadblocks. Those are the things that are putting up the blocks to the manifestation. So how do you let go of loneliness, despair, and misery? You create a different experience for yourself, right? You get out more, you do more things, you follow your passions, you follow your joys, you follow your excitement. That's how you get yourself in an energetic level of someone. Like think about this. If you want to manifest someone, would the person that you manifest right now, would the person you are being right now, would the person that you're manifesting be at the level that you want them to be? If they're going to meet you at your level, right? Sad, depressed, miserable, lonely, and despair. Do you want to attract a person that's like that? Because they're going to meet you like attracts like, right? So who do you need to become right now to attract the person who's going to, you know, create this incredible epic relationship with you where it's love and joy and laughter and fun? You have to become it first. So stepping into self-love is healing those wounds, asking yourself where those core beliefs come from, and then getting them out, you know, releasing them, letting them go, no longer living from them, deciding in moments. And this is what meditation does for you. It creates that space so you start to have that choice. Deciding in moments, do I need to feel this way? Do I need to feel abandoned right now? Do I need to feel rejected right now? Or can I respond differently so that I don't keep vibrating with that? So I don't keep the energetic alignment of that in my life. It's a choice, and it is a choice that you are able to make because you are not powerless. You are powerful over anything and everything. So stepping into that power and recognizing that you have the power to create these massive changes in your life, these incredible changes that will bring you everything you've been asking for is it's an up level. It's an up level in faith. It's an up level in trust. It's an up level in your energetic field. Can you feel it? It's like an amping of the energy field. And you know, one day you may walk around like really excited because maybe you listen to this show and there's an activation in the show and you're like, Golden told me it's right around the corner and I'm feeling really good about myself. And then it doesn't happen, right? And then the next day you wake up and you're like, okay, all right, I'm going to get back on the horse and everything's going to be great. And I'm going to meet my person today and it's all going to be great. And then it doesn't happen. And then what happens? Slowly you start to sink back into your despair and misery, right? So Think about the wave. The wave needs time to break down. It needs your belief. It needs your trust. It needs your faith. It needs your activation. It needs your energy alignment to continue that wave to break down into the physical matter of that person that you love, that you want to be with. It's possible, you guys. I don't care how long you've been alone. I don't care. I've met so many people who have found love later in life, who have found, I went to a wedding last year of a couple who met, never married, met in their late 40s and got married. And oh, such a love story. Oh my goodness. It was such a beautiful wedding, such a beautiful relationship. And it's a testimony to love, right? And I'm like, I know it's possible. I've seen it so many times in my life. One of the other things that may trip you up if you are single is the wounds and the damage that has happened previously, right? Like the heartbreaks, the being vulnerable and getting your heart trashed. So that vulnerability and that evidence of somebody not, you know, of you getting your heart broken can actually create a wound that puts up a roadblock. Because being vulnerable is hard. Putting yourself out there is risky. You don't want your heart trampled on again. You don't want to feel those feelings again. You don't want to feel disappointed or let down again, especially if you were in a marriage for like 20 or 30 years. I know people, 20 or 30 years, they were with the same person and then found out they were cheating. And it was like so devastating. But it isn't. It doesn't have to be. It can be devastating for that time and you can grieve it and then you can get over it and you can let it go and you can let these wounds heal. And the real kicker to letting the wounds heal is to be in a relationship with someone and not create the same scenarios. To let that person love you and heal these wounds and to see them, to be so aware of that dysfunction that you stop choosing it. Because that's what it is. It's a dysfunction. You're not functioning correctly when you've got these wounds and you're just constantly living from them or blaming other people for them. So if you really want to find love, get clear. Get clear, get clear. Make a list. What is my perfect partner? Meditate like your life depends on it. It does. You want to get your mind really clear. You want to get yourself in a really high vibrational state. That's what higher states of consciousness are. They bring your vibration up and you want your vibration up because when you meet that love of your life, you want them to be up here. Yeah. You don't want to be down here with them and then that gets messy. You want to meet the person up here. Journal out these feelings, get rid of them, decide for yourself how you want to feel and start journaling about that. I intend to feel love every day. I intend to feel the essence of the love that I am. And then just be in high expectation of it, but don't put a timeline on it. Don't put a timeline on it and don't feel like you're waiting for it. Go out and live your life as fully as you can because it's in that highest excitement that you will connect with someone in their highest excitement. And then, whoo, what an exciting thing we create. If for marriage, my advice with marriage or a relationship that you've been in for a while, or maybe it's new to you and you guys are working with each other and you're trying to navigate this and figure it out. The greatest thing you can do is communicate. When we have problems with people, when we have resentments, when we have the blame game, when we're playing the victim, or this has been a story, and I'm sure this is a story for a lot of women, when we don't share how we really feel because A, we're worried that they won't love us, B, we feel like they won't listen to us, or C, you know, it's just we don't have a voice. You know, our throat chakra is blocked. Do some throat chakra meditations and get that throat chakra unblocked. It's important to share what you desire. It's important to share how you feel without blaming the other person. Because if you're in the blame game, there's a fight. And that fight, we call it not a teaching moment. The energy won't move when you're in that energy. It won't move. So instead, it's like, what can I bring to this relationship that will allow me to first see the other person for the love that they are? Are you seeing that? Have compassion for the other person. What are they going through? I would remind myself all the time, and I still do this from time to time, I just don't need to as much, that I'm married to a really good man. Do you believe that you're married to a really good person? And if you are struggling with that, I would highly recommend writing down all of their positive aspects. What do I love about them? What did I love about them when I said yes to marrying them? And how can we re-spark that? How can we reconnect as a couple to the love that we felt before the kids, before the craziness, before the years started ticking on, before the financial struggles, before all of that? Who were we before that? And if you didn't have it in the beginning, I know people that didn't even have it in the beginning. They just got married because it made sense and maybe they were pregnant. You can create it at any moment. 30 years married, you can recreate your marriage at any moment. You can do a renewal. I can do it for you. Yeah, I'm ordained. I can do it for you. I've done renewals. They're so much fun. Renew that love, renew that spark, renew that marriage. Take a honeymoon. Go on vacation. My husband and I do little mini vacations because he's so busy with work that we'll just do 3 or 4 days. That's more doable for him. And we'll just get away just together. Like if you're always having your friends with you, it's very hard to connect with your partner when you always have other people around. Just the two of you, just go and spend time together. Look at each other, listen to each other, and then notice what you're giving to the relationship. This is probably a number one, so important. What are you giving? Are you just looking to get all the time? You know, are you looking for this person to fill you up all the time? Or are you actually part of the giving process of what's the energy that I'm bringing to this relationship? Am I always feeling like the relationship is broken and they don't give me enough? Because you're the one sending the signal. So they're meeting you where your signal is. So how can you shift that? You know, how can you step into a more loving place? And it doesn't mean that we do things for people because we want to get love. That's like, or get recognition, right? I used to do that all the time. I just wanted recognition so bad. And now I get recognition. I'm just like, I don't even know how to handle it anymore. Get rid of the need for the recognition. That's very egotistical anyways. But if you don't need the recognition and you're not doing it for recognition, you're just doing it to fuel the fire of love, you're going to reconnect in your relationship in a different way. So think about that question. What can I do to fuel the fire of love in my marriage today? Or what can I do to fuel the fire of love in my relationship today? And if you don't have a partner that's meeting you there, you've got to speak up. Because if this is what you want and they're not meeting you there and you're married to them, hello, you either got to change it or you got to leave, right? You got to come to the table. Now, I'm not saying that I know that there are unwilling partners out there, and that's probably very challenging, but I do know people who have given their partners ultimatums and their partners have risen up because they didn't want the relationship to end. But if you're just kind of getting by, what's the point? You're kind of wasting life. Come back together and figure out how you can do this with one another. And if your partner is completely unwilling, then you have to look at that too. And I would honestly just step back and I would say, how can I bring more love and excitement to this experience? And just keep fueling that fire, keep fanning the flame of that. And eventually I feel like they come along. But if you're forcing them or you're desperate or you're pushing the energy field, that never works. It's more about allowing and coming from the identity of the person who's experiencing it. You know, if your spouse comes home and you're happy and excited and like, hey, how was your day? And they're like stressed out and they're not feeling your energy and they're just like, whatever. And they go up to their office. That's okay. Accepting them for where they are and then letting them, you know, come down from that stress and relax and then saying, hey, how about we plan something this weekend? How about we just do something together that's like, gives you a little bit of a break and a little bit of relief. We went for pedicures yesterday. That's like my new favorite thing with my husband. He never used to do that with me. And then all of a sudden, like a couple of months ago, I was like, hey, do you want to go get a pedicure with me? So every once in a while on Sundays, we'll go and he gets the top of the line pedicure, which I would never do if I wasn't with him. And now we always do it. And it's so satisfying. And we sit in the massage chairs and we don't really talk to each other. We're just quiet. We're just together. And then we leave and we have new feet and a new attitude and it's so great. So just doing something together, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. We used to, when our kids were younger and we really didn't have any money, we would get a babysitter and we would make a picnic. We would go out for a picnic all the time. And you can do it in your car if it's cold out. I mean, there's ways to reconnect. And if you have that energy of being committed to it, then your marriage will be successful. I promise. All right. Ooh, man, this show went fast. I love the love. I just want to promote my event coming up. Look at these gorgeous, gorgeous flyers we made. $55. Space is limited, so you want to reserve now. You can reserve if you go to goldenduffy.com. livelifegolden.com. Golden with a Y. You can hold your space. We're doing it on a Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30. This will be a game changer. There's an activation here. When you see me live, there's an activation. So hold your spot there because it's gonna go fast. All right, you guys, I love you all. Have the best week. I hope you have a beautiful Valentine's Day. I know I will because I'm just sending you all the love and all the light and all the beauty that this world has to offer. Peace.